Okay, let's open our Bibles up again to the book of 1 Samuel. We'll be picking up in verse 19. That's where we left off for that wonderful lunch. I want to make mention of something. I'm very proud of this church. There was not one salad on that 30-foot of table in there. And someone has said, wisely said, that over time a church will take on the personality of their pastor. And I looked down at that buffet line and all I saw was soups and sandwiches and desserts. I said, the old proverb is true. And we're going to continue dealing with the old man. Dealing with the old man. And what we've been talking about is the old man being ourself before Christ, who we used to be, our characteristic of who we were. And now that we're a new creature in Christ, the old man is at war with the new man, trying to take over and make us act like the old man again. And it's the grace of God that keeps us living what we would call the Christian life. So we saw earlier that we are attacked by the old man, and that God sends old ministers, old respected people who we know and trust, to send and to bring us back and to encourage us. We saw that the old message was what brought us about. And then we saw that ongoing membership, where it's the commitment one to another, the time we spend together. It's God using providentially other people to encourage us along the way. Well, that got us all the way to verse 19. So when we look at part 2, the focus now is not going to be so much on the new man, but it's going to be on the old man. So we're going to look primarily now from Saul's perspective. Before we do that, I want to read you another passage of Scripture from the New Testament to have something in your mind to be thinking about when we talk about dealing with the old man. And it comes from Galatians chapter 5, verse 17. It says, "For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, for these are contrary the one to another, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led by the Spirit, ye are not under the law." Then if you keep reading in chapter 5, it lists the fruits of the flesh. And it's a laundry list that include adultery, uncleanliness, idolatry, strife, seditions, heresies. And it just goes on and on for about 3 long verses. And then it says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is," and you're familiar with that verse, aren't you? You've heard it. And it is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. It says, "Against such there is no law." So what Paul is emphasizing here is what we used to be is the fruits of the flesh. What we're supposed to be is the fruits of the Spirit. And what's happening as we are producing the fruits of the Spirit, the old person that we used to be, the sin nature, is constantly after us, trying to get us to be angry, to be envious, to be jealous, and not produce fruits of the Spirit. So Christian, you're going to have to now deal with the old man. If you're lost, you don't have to deal with the old man. You love him. The fingers you see at the ball game, you remember the big rubber number one fingers, we're number one? If you're an old man and you've never been saved, that's true of you. You think you're the most important thing. It's all about you. It's not until you come to Christ you realize it's all about Him. So, let's look at verses 19 through 29. Let's look at them as we come to them, rather than reading all 11 verses. Let's just look at them as we come to them. Let's look first of all at verses 19 and 20. And let's look at the supporters of the old man. The supporters of the old man. Verse 19, it says, "Then came up the Ziphites to Saul to Gibeah, saying, Doeth not David hide himself with us among the strongholds in the wood, in the hill of Hakilah, which is to the south of Jeshimon? Now therefore," we'll look at verse 20. "Now therefore, O king, come down according to all the desire of thy soul to come down to our part shall be deliver him into the king's hand." So the old man has some supporters. Saul has some supporters. Did you notice that? Saul is wanting to know where David is, and he's complaining. Now, you remember in chapter 22? No one will be compassionate to me and show me where David is. Well, your old man has some supporters as well. Just as Saul wants to know where David is and how to find him and how to get in touch with him and how to kill him, your old man has some supporters as well. Your flesh has some things that trigger it and help it along the way. Now in this text, remember what Ziph means, refinement or refinery? It's a place where metals and minerals are refined. The people who support the flesh are actually referred to as the refiners. Now that's interesting, isn't it? God uses these plays on words, these cities for reasons, and it's always a great interest to me. So these Ziphites are in the region of Judah. Now where is Ziph? It's about 4 miles south of Hebron. Okay? So this is David's home state. These are people that should be close to David. These are people from David's tribe, if you will. They are all descendants of Judah. But just because someone is from the descendants of your people does not mean they're your friend. Have you ever heard a joke about the church being full of hypocrites? You ever heard someone say they won't come to church because it's full of hypocrites? Okay, just because you're in your hometown does not mean that everyone there is your friend. Just because you're in church doesn't mean that everyone sitting within the walls of where the church meet is a Christian. Here we see that these Ziphites, even though they're from Judah, they're willing to be friends with Saul. Why? Because Saul is king. And here's what we know about someone. When Saul is king, people will do anything to get the ear of the king. It doesn't matter who we elect for president this year, who takes over next year. It doesn't matter who it is. There are going to be lobbyists who want the president's ear. Regardless of what side they're on, they're going to want an audience. They're going to want him to fund something for them. If you become a congressman or a senator, people are going to want your audience. They're going to be willing to do things for you in order for you to do things for them. And the Ziphites go to Saul and say, here's a chance. We know David's in our land. He's in the hills. He's in the woods around here. We know he's here. So let's go tell Saul. And then Saul will be kind to us and gracious to us, and Saul will give us something. So you must be careful, because people will sell you out for money. They'll do it for their own personal benefit. So that's the supporters of Saul as the old man. What are some supporters of your personal old man? I'll give you the most obvious, your old friends. You say, oh, I've been saved for 60 years, preacher. I bet during your saved life, during the last 60 years, you've had some moments where you didn't really live up to the Christian standard. I'll bet since you've been saved, you've had some periods of backslidden condition in your own life. I'd just be willing to bet that. And I'd be willing to bet if you don't admit that, you're a liar. I'd be willing to bet that more so than the other. Yes. You know what I found during those times in my own life after I was saved? There were times when I got away from God. There were times that I began to drift away. And here's what happened. There were a group of people that came along who were of my own persuasion. Church folk. Christians. Who came alongside me and were happy to have me living as the old man because they liked living as the old man. They professed to be a Christian just like I did. And you know what? They were happy for me to go along with them because it gave them comfort. Hey, we're both Christians and we both say it's okay. You know what I'm talking about here? Have you ever found yourself in this condition? Now here's what happens. The old man wants to get back in control, and so what he's looking for is some supporters, some sympathizers who will come to you and say, hey, why are you doing that? It's easy. Fun. Why is God making you do these unfun things? Why is God's holding out on you? That's always been the cry of the flesh. The flesh is captive to sin, and the author of sin is Satan. And here's what Satan said to Eve. God don't want you to be like him. God's holding back on you. So what is the flesh, your old man, that's at war with you, that lusteth after you? In other words, he longs to get back into control, according to Galatians 5:17. What does he do? He finds things that stirs up your old man and makes it harder for you. Now, notice with me, the supporters of the old man are 19 and 20, the Ziphites in our story, but it could be old friends, it could be old thoughts, it could be old photos, anything that used to work for you, any sin that you used to battle with, that is a supporter of your old man. Let's look at the speech of the old man, verses 21 and 22. And Saul said, "Blessed be ye of the Lord, for ye have compassion on me." Let's read down through the middle part of verse 23. "Go, I pray you, prepare yet, and know and see this place where his haunt is, and who hath seen him there, for it is told me that he dealeth very subtly. See therefore, and take knowledge of all the lurking places where he hideth himself, and come ye again to me with a certainty, and I will go with you, and it shall come to pass that if he be in the land, I will search him out throughout all the thousands of Judah." The speech of the old man. Did you notice how Saul began his speech back to these supporters? Look with me again at verse 21. And Saul said, "Blessed be ye of the Lord." Stop right there. In your Bible, is the word Lord spelled this way? Big capital L, small capital O, small capital R, small capital D. Is that the way it's spelled in your Bible? That word Lord there means God, real God. Not just a dignitary, not just any old God, but that word Lord, when it's spelt in that way, means none other than Yahweh, God, Jehovah. Okay? Notice what the old man says to the supporters. "Blessed be ye of the Lord." Wait a minute. Does that make any sense to you? The old man is contrary to the spirit, right? The flesh warreth against, lusteth against, battles against the spirit. Well, how can the flesh, the old man, call someone blessed by God if they are actually attacking what God has decreed? Just because someone uses religious speech does not make them a saint. That's the moral of the story. I know you're all full of sandwiches and soup and you don't want to hear a long sermon. I'll give you the Reader's Digest version. What's being said here is this. Saul, who hates God's chosen man, David, tells people that turn David in, God's going to bless you. My stars, you're the enemy of God. He's not going to bless you. And it doesn't help for you to bless the enemy of God either. I love it when some fella on the... I don't love it. I hate it. Love is sarcastic in this instance. I hate it when some TV preacher's blessing everyone that's hearing him on the radio. Buddy, you don't have the authority to bless them people listening to you on the radio. I'm not talking about God bless you. I'm talking about I pray God's blessing on you. You don't have the power, the authority, the ability, the license, the credit, the credentials. You don't have any of that to bless someone. You don't have any more authority to do that than Saul had the authority to bless these Ziphites. The speech of the old man has a religious flavor to it. We like to think of our old man as we think of the devil, don't we? You know how you think of the devil. Red horns, red long handles, tail with a red fork, and a red pitchfork. And it's portrayed that way in the cartoons and the old movies, isn't it? You remember the guy trying to make a decision and on one shoulder sat an angel with wings and a halo, and on the other shoulder sat the devil. And one whispered in this ear and one whispered in this ear, and the guy was trying to make a decision whether to follow the devil or the angel. I wouldn't follow either one. I'd follow God. Because all the devil is a fallen angel. And he transforms himself into an angel of light. Paul said, though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel, let him be accursed. We don't listen to an angel and the devil. What we do is we either listen to the new man or the old man. That's our conscience. We listen to the new man or the old man. And you probably think the old man is saying, do all these bad things. But actually the old man talks with a religious flavor just like Saul does. Saul is the most wicked, rotten man in all of Israel right now. And he's blessing people in God's name. Most wicked, rotten people in America today are false religious leaders. Listen to me. They're more dangerous than who the president is. They're more dangerous than a Congress that don't show up. They're more dangerous than a Supreme Court judge. Why? They're coming in God's name. Not only are they doing contrary to the Word of God, they're bringing shame to those who truly are God's people. I tell people all the time, I don't tell them what my occupation is unless they ask. You know why? If someone says, well, what do you do for a living? I said, well, I hate to admit it, but I'm a Baptist preacher. And they go, you hate to admit it? I said, yeah, preaching's a profession. It's not really any pride in that anymore. And you get to thinking about it. Yeah, every televangelist on TV's been caught with some other woman or caught doing drugs or caught not paying his taxes. I mean, really, I've got an occupation and a rough lot of people who are all criminals and convicts. Why? Because there's so many false teachers out there. The old man talks in religious ease, Christian ease. Blessed be ye of the Lord, ye Ziphites. You've had compassion on me. That's the way your old man lures you in to following him and not God. That's the way your old friends will lead you down the wrong trail. They'll come to you with a religious flair. They'll come to you in the name of Christianity. They'll come to you and say they're a Protestant. They'll come to you and say they're a Catholic. They'll come to you and say this. But listen, you've got to look beyond that stuff. Is this just the old man talking? Or is this the Spirit of God that's putting me in this condition? The speech of the old man. He says, begins by blessing them of the Lord. Then he says, go and look this guy out and find out where he is and find out who spotted him last and find out where he's been hanging out. And then I'll come again and know for certainty. The speech of the old man gives instruction to his supporters to find you out, find your weakness, and help him plan the attack. How can this guy be called your friend? Now let's look at our third thought. The searching of the old man. Start there in the middle of verse 23 with me. And I will go with you, and it shall come to pass, if he be in the land, that I will search him out throughout all the thousands of Judah. Notice the dedication of the old man. Saul said, if he's there, I will find him among all the thousands of Judah. Saul does not say this. Well, if he's not there, I'll just come back and wait and see what else happens. You know, I really like to hunt. And I have friends that are what I'd call fair weather hunters, you know. I went hunting and I didn't see anything in about 15 minutes. So I came home and made a pot of coffee. I'm like, it's not hunting. You should have just stayed home. I like to fish, but I have friends that are fair weather fishermen. You walk down to the river and they're down there fishing on the bank of the river and you go, are you catching any? No, we're fixing to leave. They're not biting. How long have you been here? We've been here about 15 minutes. I'm like, you don't even know where they're at yet. You've only been here 15 minutes. I wish my old man were a fair weather fisherman and a fair weather hunter. Well, I got up this morning and tried to get Harold to follow me today and he wouldn't do it, so I'm going to stay home and watch soap operas till he gets back from work. That'd be nice if I had an old man like that. The old man that used to be Harold Smith is just like the old man that's hunting David, Saul. Saul says, you go and find him, and if he's anywhere in Judah, I will look through all the thousands. In other words, I'm going door to door, person to person, conducting investigation because I'm searching for David, the new man. And his search is thorough. Look with me at verse 24. And they arose and went to Ziph before Saul. But David and his men were in the wilderness of Maon in the plain south of Jeshimon. So the Ziphites sent word to Saul that David was hanging out in the mountains of Ziph. They went and got Saul and Saul said, well, go find him. I'll be right behind you. When I get there, I'll kill him. Well, by the time they all got back and got their armies together, David had already moved. Interesting how God moved him when he wanted him moved. Now the question becomes, where's the wilderness of Maon and the plain south of Jeshimon? It's about 4 or 5 miles south of Ziph. We're just moving south. all we've been doing. And David is only 4 or 5 miles from where he once was. Now, 4 or 5 miles in a desert, wilderness, rough, rocky place, you might be safe if it was you from another primitive army. But keep in mind, it's not just David that moved 4 or 5 miles. It's David and his 600 men. I'm not much of a tracker, but I think I can figure out where 600 men walked. You? I mean, I'm no African Plains Game tracker. You know, the guys that stick their ear to the ground and tell you how many hours ago the line passed through. But I think if 600 men carrying military gear and food passed through here, I think I could follow that. So David leaves Ziph and he goes down here with 600 men. Now, let's just stop for a moment. The old man is searching out the new man. The new man is smart. The new man is being guided by God. The new man has power and authority from God. Why doesn't David just bait a trap and lead Saul right in it and wipe out the entire army of Saul? When you can wipe out who you used to be from coming back and haunting you, you can start telling David what he should have done. Are you capable of stopping sin in the future now? You're not capable. You can't get rid of the old man. You don't have the authority to kill the old man, nor the means to do it. All you've got to do is obey God. What has David done? He's obeyed God. God said, David, you need to get out of Ziph. David left Ziph and went to Maon. He moved down about 4 or 5 miles. I don't know if someone tipped him off. I don't know if the Lord wrote it in the stars. I don't know if a prophet showed up and told him what to do. I don't know if Abathar the priest got out the ephod and looked at it and they got direction from God. I don't know. This is what I do know. God moved David. And guess what? God's going to continue to move David, and the distance between the old man and the new man is no longer going to be 4 or 5 miles. The distance is going to be a hilltop. Look at the next verse. Verse 25, and Saul also and his men went to seek him, and they told David, wherefore he came down into a rock, and he abode in the wilderness of Maon. And when Saul heard it, he pursued after David in the wilderness of Maon. Now he came down into a rock. It's called a rock because it don't have a name yet. You know, the clearest way, the best way I know to explain this to you is I'm not very good with like newborn babies. And somebody will come to church with a newborn baby. And I didn't know the blue and the pink thing. I didn't know that. And I would always just go, that's a pretty baby. They'd be like, yeah. And I'd say, how old is, not he or she, because I didn't really know. How old is the baby? And they'd say, the baby is. And I'd be like, no, I'm waiting for a he or she. What's the baby's name? Pat. You know what I mean? The Bible here says he's hiding in the rock. And the reason it's called the rock is because it does not have a name yet. But the rock is about to get a name. Look with me at the last word of verse 28. Pronounce it for me. Boy, y'all are real slow on the draw. Yeah. What would that tell you about the gender of the rock? David went down and found another fortified place. But guess what? Someone told Saul where this was. This was a landmark of some kind. This would be the kind of rock where they said, you're going to go around the corner and there's going to be a big rock. You're not going to be able to miss it. This, I don't want you to think of a rock like the size of this pulpit. I want you to think of a cliff, a rocky cliff. And in that rocky cliff, there was enough room in the caves there and the crevices there and the valleys there for 600 men to live. And that's where David was. That's where Saul came in verse 26. Now look with me, searching of the old man, he goes to the rock. That was in verse 25. Look at verse 26. And Saul went on this side of the mountain, and David and his men on that side of the mountain. And David made haste to get away for fear of Saul, for Saul and his men compassed David and his men around about to take them. So David is on a rocky hillside. A prominent feature, right? Let me explain to you what that says. David's here. All Saul sees is the big rocky cliff, the big rocky bluff, the big rock mountain, if you will. Saul says, well, let's go around this way and we'll just keep going around this big rock until we find David. So what does David do? David goes the other way around the rock. And so what we have is this. Huh? You ever played peek-a-boo with a little kid around something? That's David and Saul. How far away is the old man from the new man? He's right on his heels. And they're going around this hill. Now what happens? The old man is searching after Saul. The old man don't have to look far to find you because he dwells within you. You can't kill him and you can't outrun him and you can't hide from him. The old man is constantly searching for the new man. Saul is constantly looking for David. And David's with 600 men and they don't hide easy. Guess what? The old man's getting tired of chasing his tail around the mountain. That brings us to the suspension of the old man. Verse 26 said, David was on one side of the mountain and Saul was on the other side of the mountain. That last phrase, and Saul and his men compassed David and his men around about to take them. Saul said, all right, Saul has 3,000 men. David has 600. Saul says, 1,500 of us are going to keep following David around this mountain. The other 1,500 turn and go back the way we came. You know what that's going to happen? If David's here and he's staying right in front of Saul, half of Saul's men are going to come around the mountain and meet David head on. They compassed about him. They circled around. Saul's through chasing. What's going to happen to David? What's going to happen to David? God has been delivering David time and time again from the old man, and God has been moving David time and time again away from the old man, and David has done everything God has told him to do. Now the old man has a trap set. He's going to circle around the mountain, and that's going to be the end of David. Not up to David to get away. It's up to David to obey God, and David is moving in fear of the old man and obedience to God, and what happens? The suspension of the old man. The suspension of the old man. Verses 27 through 29. This is good news to everyone who's battling the old man. Look at verse 27. But there came a messenger unto Saul saying, haste thee and come, for the Philistines have invaded the land. He was that close to having David in his grips. He was that close to engaging in combat with the new man. He had him outnumbered 5-1. That's what it means to be outnumbered, 3,000 to 600. He had him outnumbered 5-1. He had him in a trap with the troops on both sides. And at that instance, keep in mind, we're not talking about a day behind him. We're talking about they're on the same mountain. How long ago did the Philistines invade the land? How long did it take a messenger to get from that area where they were attacking and travel via the old trade route down through the valley and over the hills and around through the wilderness and find Saul and stop at every town? Where's the army of Saul? Oh, they went down this way. Where's the army of Saul? Oh, they're over the hill. Where's the army of Saul? Oh, they're down at the rock in Maon. How long did it take this messenger to get there? He arrived right on. Notice that. Saul had David where he wanted him. The trap was about to snap shut and the messenger said, Saul, stop. Make haste. I don't care what you're doing, quit. The Philistines have invaded the land. What happened? The old man got suspended. Verse 28 with me. Wherefore Saul returned from pursuing after David and went against the Philistines. Therefore they called the place Si-la-him-a-luk-ka. You don't like the way I say it, I'll gladly let you take a vocal stab at it. What does that mean? It means the rock of divisions. God separated the old man and the new man right there. God divided and took Saul away and put him to task fighting the Philistines and gave but temporary relief. How long did this relief last? It lasted one verse. Verse 29. Because you look at verse 1 of chapter 24, it says, it came to pass when Saul was returned from following the Philistines that it was told him, saying, behold, David is in the wilderness of En-Gedi. The old man's never going to leave you alone. If he does, it's temporary. It's short-lived. But what happens when the old man gives you a break? It is a sweet rest for the Christian. Look at verse 29 with me. And David went up from thence and dwelt in strongholds at En-Gedi. Any of you ever been to En-Gedi? I haven't either, but I've read about it. En-Gedi is an oasis in the desert. There is a natural spring there on the west side of the Dead Sea, out in an arid place in the middle of nowhere. It is fresh, clear, cool water comes out of the ground, and guess what they grow there? Grapes. The vineyards of En-Gedi are famous, according to the Song of Solomon. They made some of the best wine ever in En-Gedi. When the old man left David, God rescued David, and David was obedient and followed God and resisted the old man, God gave him a place of sweet rest. Rarely. He had an oasis in the desert. Folks, to deal with the old man requires us to recognize we're not just to be concerned about who we used to be, but the things that trigger who we used to be, the supporters of the old man. The sins that we used to treasure, the sins that we've lost to so many times, those are the same sins that excite our flesh every time. The speech of the old man. Your flesh will take all the religion that you can cram down it, but it will not take true Christianity. The speech of the old man was seasoned with the things of God. Blessed be thou of the Lord. Your flesh will give you a religious option to serve it, but the new man will not accept mere religion. The searching of the old man. You're never going to get so holy the old man ain't going to come looking for you. Never going to get so full of God that the old man quits. You're never going to be so excited about Christianity that the old man says, well, I don't guess I'll ever find you again. The old man is going to stay after you as long as you breathe air on the earth in human flesh. Well, it's going to be until you die, until you receive your new glorified body, the old man's going to be hunting you every day. Now, you can flee the old man. You can flee temptation. You can flee the lust of the flesh. You can get away from him. You can put him off. You can pursue God. You can yield to the Spirit. You can follow the teachings of Scripture. All of these things will keep the old man from overtaking you. The old man's never going to stop looking for you. That brings us to our last thing, the suspension of the old man. When you fought who you used to be, tooth, fang, and claw, to you've gone around the mountain, round and round and round, and you have nowhere else to go, and there's no way of escape, but you've continued to trust God and lean on God and look to God for grace. Here's what God does. He steps in and takes the old man away. Not permanently, but temporarily. But you're not even going to find temporary relief unless you're obeying God. You're not going to find temporary relief unless you're resisting the desires of the flesh. Folks, you can't serve the flesh and expect the flesh to leave. You can't feed the old man and expect him not to show up for dinner every day. Just telling you. I could make a lot of references here about how to get people out of your home. Number one, quit feeding them. They'll leave. People are upset about all the illegal immigrants in our country. Quit feeding them. They'll go back. That's simple, isn't it? If they come here and there is nothing to eat, they'll go back. You quit feeding the old man, he will leave. Won't stop hunting you, but he'll give you some relief. And listen, that relief is sweet. It's as sweet as the oasis in the desert. For a time being, you're not constantly fighting yourself. And the Lord allows you to prop your feet up for just a little bit. Just a verse. A short chapter of your life. You're not in battle with yourself. And oh, isn't that nice? Isn't that sweet? And about the time you get comfortable and say, boy, I like this. Philistines go back to the region of the Philistines. They go back to Gath. They go back to Ekron. Saul goes back to following David. That's how you deal with the old man. You fight him and fight him and fight him until you're surrounded. And then you trust God to do what only God can. Save you. And when he does save you, you praise him. You thank him. You celebrate the victory, and you get ready for the next attack. You say, Brother Harold, that's monotonous. That's tiring. That's what makes heaven so sweet. In heaven, there's no more old man. There's not any golf courses with gold golf balls. There's not any lakes with fish. There's not family reunions where you sit around and talk to grandma and tell her all the things you didn't get to tell her on the earth. In heaven, there's no old man. There's no sin nature tempting you and tormenting you to follow after it instead of God. That's why it's called the land of rest. O land of rest, for thee I sigh and cast a wishful eye. It's the land where there's no old man. Till then, we've got to deal with it. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word again. Thank you for another study. Thank you for taking the life of David and giving us such a practical application for the life that we live now. I pray, Lord, that you would help us to take serious our battle with the flesh and who we used to be before Christ. And Lord, I know that you grant us victory, but I pray that you would help us to fight valiantly and to do all that we can to flee temptation. And Lord, when we find ourselves surrounded, to trust you and to obey you and know that it's by your grace that we are saved. Father, thank you for this wonderful lesson. Help us to receive it well and to apply it in our own lives. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.